our New Testament reading comes from the Epistle of Ephesians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. And it reads, "Therefore, the prisoner in the Lord beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling of which you have been called, with all humility and gladness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Therefore, is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he has ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive, and gave gifts to his people. Where it says he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended into the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fulfill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blowing about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up from within in love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I come to you today with a message that makes the statement, don't waste another day. There's a question that's asked over and over again, most times in the form of a joke, but I'll ask it just the same. And if by chance someone feels so inclined to shout out the answer, feel free to do so. How do you eat an elephant?
One piece at a time.
Hmm?
One piece at a time.
Bite at a time.
Good answer. I'd have preferred fried, but one piece at a time. One bite at a time. All right. Next question. For those of you who are athletic, how do you walk a million miles? Perfect. One step at a time. The crown and jewel question. How do you accomplish a monumental task? I stumped you.
One day at a time?
Yes! One day at a time. Good answer. Now, what intrigues me about these questions is it's not the questions themselves, but it's the answer. And so the answer informs how we are to live our lives, because there's no other way to do it. We live our lives one day at a time. Just for the fun of it, I'm curious to see if anybody's familiar with this song. I was debating on whether I was going to attempt to sing it or not, but I won't torture you. I'll just read the words. It says, and I quote, "One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. yesterday is gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. But Lord, for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. Anybody familiar with that song? Yes. Oh, I see a few hands. June, I might be adding that one to our selection. And so here's the thing. We are only able to live our lives one day at a time. And in this song, we've asked God to allow us one more day to do all the things that we need to do. And so the curiosity question that sort of bubbles up in the midst of all of this is, what would you do if God gave you one additional day in your life to accomplish the things that your heart and your mind desires to do? What if God gave you one more day to grow a little bit more, to fix those problems that have been plaguing you, or to just simply make things a little bit better than they already are in your life? How would you spend that one extra day if God was to grant you that day in your life? As you think about that for just a moment, I challenge you to hear what was going on in our Old Testament reading today. For you see, when David found himself in a situation and he went to God in prayer, when he hit this moment of crisis, this time of controversy, he went to the Lord, he fell down on his knees, and he said these words, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sins are always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned, and I have done evil in your sight, so that you are proven right when you speak and justified when you judge me. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the innermost parts. You teach me wisdom in all the inmost places." I'll pause there for a moment. This is what he prayed in that psalm that we read a little while ago. Now here's the backstory. This prayer was written by David during one of the darkest moments in his life. Some of you may remember a little bit about his story when he was a little boy and he killed Goliath with the slingshot, and God saw that and blessed him and made him the king of the people of Israel. Some of you may not be familiar with what happened after he became king. Turns out that on this one occasion, when the people of Israel were out fighting, he happened to turn his attention to someone who he should not have been involved with. It was the wife of one of his soldiers. He went, he did something he was not supposed to do. She ended up pregnant. He called the husband back in to try to get him to be with her so that he could pretend that that was the husband's child and not his. Things didn't quite work out. So to cover the whole thing up, David decided to orchestrate a plan to have this soldier killed. And then David would rise to the occasion as the noble, caring, loving king, who would then turn around and go to the woman and say, "Well, since your husband is dead fighting for your country, I will take you in as my wife and you can be with me," and blah, blah, blah. The child was born. God did not like all that, and the child eventually died. All of this, David realized, I didn't do what was right in God's eyes. I did something that was absolutely appalling and abominable. And so it's with that David had a lot of couches, and he realized that had I had one more day to do this over again, maybe I would have stayed noble and stayed faithful. Because as king, he had access to everything his heart desired. And he had such a wonderful relationship with God that in his admonishment from God, God said, had you wanted something more than I had given you, all you had to do was ask. And yet, he decided to take what didn't belong to him. If he had one more day to undo these things, I believe that David would have come to his senses and done what was right. And after he sat, after he cried and prayed, he then turned to the Lord and he said, Lord, now that I've admitted my guilt, my shame, here's what I need you to do for me. Picking up with verse 7, he said, cleanse me with hyssop, so I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. He asked God to renew his life and to give him a second chance. And you know what's the cool thing about God? Is when we pray and when we ask sincerely from the heart, God hears and God responds. And so after all of that, after David said his amen, and after he got off his knees, God blessed him. God then continued by saying, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be turned back to you. He went out, and he began to tell others, don't do what I did. Live a life that's truly acceptable to God. Beloved people of God, what makes this such an intriguing story is that after David went out and did all the things he was not supposed to do, after he asked God to forgive him, after God gave him a second chance, he didn't just sit down and say, yay, I'm forgiven, everything's great. Now let me just hang out and relax and enjoy my life. David got up and proactively began to work to make things right between him, between God. He made things right with the woman. He made things right from amongst his people, and he began to follow God for a while. The story continues, and you know how we humans are. We don't always quite stay focused the way we should. This, beloved people of God, is the place where God meets many of us. But this is also the place where most of us mess up. Because if we stop and think about where we are in our own walk of faith called life right now, and we think about the things that we have done, if God has given us one more day to make things right in our lives, what would we do with that extra day? After we have asked God to give us that day to rebuild, repair, to fix, and to undo those things that we've done, and then God's given us that one more day, it's not for us to just sit back and relax and do nothing. Paul, in his scripture, tells us that though he was a prisoner for the Lord, he said, I urge you to live a life that's worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. And then it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bonds of peace. What Paul is saying, beloved people of God, is that life is not a spectator sport. We will ask God for many things, but then the question is, what do we do after God responds? After God has given us that which we ask for, what does God expect us to do? My response is I encourage each and every one of us not to waste another day by just sitting around and letting nothing happen in your lives. Think about it. How many times have we asked God to bless us with an opportunity when we're in between jobs or in between schools or in between relationships or going through changes? We ask, we pray, God says, okay, I will open doors for you. But now what do you do? Do we sit and wait for a job to fall on our lap? The answer, I hope, is no. We go out, we fill out applications, we knock on doors, we go and we do what it takes. How many of us have had moments when we didn't quite feel as good as we wanted to feel, or the doctors gave us some kind of report to say that your health is not as good as it could or would or should be? Anybody ever had that? Anybody ever prayed and asked God for healing? And then what happens? Well, those of us who are allowing time to pass and waste, we sit down and go, all right, I feel better now. Thank you, God, for taking away that pain. Those of us who appreciate what God has done will then go out and begin to eat better, maybe exercise a bit, maybe make our doctor's appointments more regularly and frequently visited. Or how about this? How many times have we asked God to help us during a difficult time in our lives, when we have had a bout of a broken or strained relationship, had an argument with somebody or had an issue with somebody, and we turn around and say, Lord, help me figure this out. And God steps in. Now what do we do? Do we just leave things as they are? Or do we try to rebuild a better relationship? Beloved people of God, life is not a spectator sport. It's a part for us to do. There's a role for us to play in all of this. And so I challenge each and every one of us today to not waste a moment. God has given us that extra day that we asked for. How do we know that? Because you're all here. Your eyes are open and you are still on this side of life. Every day when God wakes you up, it's a new day to do a new thing. It's a new opportunity to reach out and to fix those things that may have been broken yesterday. It's a new day to start a new health regimen, eating better, praying more, doing whatever it is that has been on your mind to do. Beloved people of God, I encourage you, don't waste another day. When the sun rises and the Lord blesses you with the ability to get up and to go out and to live, make that day the best day of your life. And if by chance God gives you one more day after that, then repeat the process again the next day. Are you up for the challenge?
Yes.
You think you can handle it? If not, you can always just sit back and allow life to pass you by and let life be a spectator sport. But if you're like me, after about the third hour of that day, you'll get bored. And so I encourage you, go out and live life to the fullest, knowing that God is with you every step of the way. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for reminding us that life is for living and not for wasting. And so we pray, Lord, that you will give us, each of us, the ability to go out and to do what you desired, what you have built, and you have equipped us to do. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.